Hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, a moment where we can sit back, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't get some talking points out of it, see if we can't, you know, just get some of those little ideas, get the gears rolling in our head to go out there and start a conversation or enhance a conversation with the people we run into on the street in our daily lives. The other day I was thinking about building a team, more specifically building a team within the corporate structure. Now, I'm not a team manager, I'm a team player. You know, I've got my job. We're all there to complete a specific goal at the end of the day. And usually when you're building a team, you want to hire the best and the brightest. You need yourself a good project manager, general manager, however you want to phrase that, someone that can organize the collective chaos and keep everybody's task at hand. Then you go down the line, you get other, they file them as supervisors, but they're still management there to keep the multiple parts of the ship greased and rolling. You get your advertising team, someone, the people to get the voice out there, let everybody know what's going on. You get your assembly line team, the people that are there collected and making sure that the product or the project is put together well enough so that way when it's released, it's all built properly and ready to go, and it's efficient. If you're building widgets, you need so many widgets. Gotta get all those parts together, nice uniform fashion. But what happens when you join a team and you do it for the best of reasons? You think you're doing it for the right reasons, and you come across an inefficiency within the build structure or the final line structure of this project, and you try and fix it. Boss, I know that this can be done a better way, a more efficient way. Or maybe you're trying to eliminate some waste. We don't need to do so much of this, or we're doing too much of that. And the boss comes back and says, no, this is how we're doing it. It's a forced plan of the cost. It seems kind of detrimental. I'm trying to save pennies. But when you're at the bottom of the totem pole of the grand scheme of the plan, maybe you are completely oblivious to another part, another section of the team's overall objectives. Maybe that waste is specifically planned in either for good reasons, it'll be used elsewhere, or maybe it's a forceful overspend of cost. Something to kind of fudge the numbers. Now, that's not to say every company does that. I would think most companies would prefer not to do that. But what is to say, what is to stop people, companies, teams from having that forceful waste, to have that excessive spending? Something to justify an increase in cost or an increase in action reaction to get the gears rolling, the wheels turning in the final scheme of the project. Scheme, that's a broad term, but I feel it works out well in whatever way, shape, or form. You got a product. If you have a product, that product has an end goal, and a goal can be surmised with the word scheme. But you get these goals that seem like wasteful, seem like just an oversight. And again, you try and fix it, and your boss says no. It gets kind of frustrating when you want to try and fix it. But again, maybe it's all part of the scheme of things, the overall plan. You know, people say that when things get too big, it's kind of hard to keep a secret on how the plan is supposed to unravel, unfold, the direction of the company's or team is supposed to flow. And I say that under the general terms of a deep state. We've all heard that term, and it's become a little bit more accepted as mainstream through all this political turmoil that's going on, love or hate, whichever side. There have been a lot of revelations of unelected officials within the government. You know, we all vote for our president and congressmen, senators, and under good reason. We have mayors, we vote for mayors and governors and stuff like that. But for good reason, we have organizations, government organizations, that do not have elected officials. I mean, it would get kind of crazy if we had to vote for every single head of operations within the government. You got your board of educators. That's probably an elected spot. Department of Transportation. I know here in Washington that is an unelected position. The head of that council or position gets put in there, nominated by the governor, I believe. The governor at the time of choosing when it's time for that position to be filled. That person has to agree with the governor's position, or the governor has to agree with their course of actions, an agreed upon end goal. Now, the end goal could be an absolutely positive thing, something for the improvement of the community. But at what point do the unelected officials get too much free rein? Yeah, we say we're going to do this, and they are able to fudge some numbers somewhere along the way and create it so that way things become just a little bit more expensive, and they get to wash money in one way or another. You've got these unelected officials in protected jobs because you can't just outright fire them, which is kind of silly to me, because government of the people, by the people, for the people. And yet these jobs are very much protected through the governor and whatnot, or the president or Congress. Let's not be too stingy on who's applying jobs, because all the jobs do go all across the board. But we see things like nepotism all the time. That's a word that's been bandied about here locally a whole bunch. And I'm sure it's been said frequently if you've paid attention to any sort of news source at any level against any party or individual. Nepotism, that's according to Merriam-Webster, a favoritism as an appointment to a job based on kinship. And kinship doesn't necessarily have to be specifically immediate family, although most times it is. But it could be a part of a club or religion, a church, right? Boy Scouts, Mormons, maybe even if we want to go so far as to say Skull and Bones, if that's a true club. I'm sure it might be. I don't know. But the story's out there. Everybody's got their goals as the general team, as the group collective. But what happens when you have a nepotistic individual who's been put in there through an agreement within another team to go in and achieve a goal? An example that comes to mind is when police officers go undercover into gangs or cartel and become a mole. We've all heard about that. Spies infiltrating. They put on the mask of the company that they're applying to, be that a company or a gang. And then that in the after hours, they go and they report back to their other team, their more devoted team. At what point does that outside team influence the objective team, the one that they're being targeted? Am I getting too broad? Am I bouncing around a little too much on this? Hope not. And again, people say that when these things get too big, you've got these outside groups that are controlling the inside groups. There's no way that many people can keep a secret. Someone will leak something. Someone will spill the beans. And that's absolutely true. Throughout the years, there's plenty of examples of people finding out that things aren't going the way that they felt. You've got people that have joined these teams or groups following their publicly stated agreement, and then they go forward And then they find out that the boss says, no, we're going to just keep wasting money. And they come forward and they say, we're wasting money, as an easy example. And the story gets out, and sometimes it catches wind and we all hear about it. And sometimes it's smothered at the beginning and it just kind of disappears. Sometimes it does get fixed and sometimes it doesn't. But as far as stories too big, you ever heard of Manhattan Project? The building of the atomic bomb? I'm sure you have. That's not to be derogatory towards you. But there's a place down in Tennessee, a city called Oak Ridge. And back when World War II was going on, Oak Ridge was just, on maps, a forest. There was no town there. Not on the maps, at least. But if you were to go there, there were a lot of scientists there to build the atomic bomb. And if you were to ask anybody, I'm talking from hypothetical, but seeing as Oak Ridge wasn't an actual town on a map until after World War II, seems like a pretty well-kept secret. These people would go about and they're like, oh, I just work for a company over in the next town over, and yeah, I'm just a contractor, just do here and there things. When in all actuality, they're over there building the atomic bomb, building the parts for it or whatever their job was specifically. And that was a pretty big project that was kept secret all the way until the bomb was dropped. And I'm sure there were a handful of spies that had some inkling, had some knowledge. It was definitely kept on the down low for a very long time. Now, not to stay too far down on this topic, not to be too dismal, there are points in time where the end goal is specifically to do something altruistic. But we don't want things being too wasteful. So at some point, we need to be able to talk, to be able to share our points of view, to share our concerns. But sometimes we have to realize that being at the bottom of the totem pole, we're only told so much. We're only meant to understand so much because it's outside of our job requirements or job details. You ever play the game Telephone? You get a whole bunch of people sitting around in a circle. One person turns to the person to their left or right and whispers something into their ear, and then it goes around in a circle, and it finishes up back at the person who started it. And the goal is to see if the word or phrase has stayed the same all the way through. Sometimes you get pretty close, you know, off by a word or two. Sometimes, actually on the rare occasion, it's the exact same phrase. If the phrase stays all the way same through, you got a pretty good team. Or sometimes you got a disinformation agent. I know I've been that person in the game of Telephone before, just to have fun. Someone whispers something to you and you completely change it to something else. Throw off the scent, keep people guessing. And when it comes to the end, they're like, how did it turn from this, my original phrase, into that? But sometimes those people are necessary. Keep the secret of one side to the next. And the game of Telephone, that's just a game. It's just something silly. But we sit here, me with my headphones on, you with your earbuds on or maybe on a speaker, listening to this Tower of Babel, our local town square, so to speak. We got everybody talking all at once. We got some people that are out there preaching the truth. We got other people out there that are preaching what they believe to be the truth, but they've been told something else through that game of Telephone. And then you have your disinformation agents. Those people like me that either for fun or for their end goal, that's their advertising role within the team structure, to change the message. And as we all sit here in our town square, all this babbling going on, we as the collective need to come together and discern what we feel to be the truth. There's always three sides to the truth: his side, her side, and the real truth. And we'll discern it. We won't always be accurate on point every single time, but we can take context clues. You remember that from school? Take the gist of what is being said and you transcribe it, you define it to something you can understand and restate, and go from there. And you create your truth. Doesn't mean your truth is always right. Doesn't mean my truth is always right. It doesn't mean the next person's truth is always right. But as we sit here and gather, collect our talking points, we can come to some sort of collective agreement, find some sort of similar stomping ground and an ability to create our own level playing field, create our own team. As long as we know that there's some people that are working against us, some people working for us, and a lot of us are just kind of going with the wind, seeing what's coming, we can break it down. We can get it all squared away in one way, shape, or another. But as usual, it's just kind of, it's talking points. Somewhere between rambling and getting the idea out there. Seeing if we can't, again, come to some sort of consensus. I'm Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You can find me on Twitter, at BillyBones.com. Go to the website, I'm at Billy Bones on Twitter. The website is BillyBones.com, all spelt the same. Come join the Discord. Join the team, so to speak. Come join the soapbox. Let me know what I got right, what I got wrong. Maybe you got some ideas to share. Go ahead and post them in the Discord or send them to me on Twitter. Maybe you got something a little bit more long form that you got to share with me. There's an email link on the website. This is a value for value podcast. If you found any value, you're welcome to share it. There's a value for value button on the website. Take you to PayPal. But if you did find any value, the first thing I would request, though, is give the podcast a share. Just here having fun, sharing my ideas. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to y'all next week.